The verse that I'd like to look at is Proverbs 19 and verse 21. Proverbs 19 and verse 21. And if there's a title for this study, it's The Speculative and the Sovereign. The Speculative and the Sovereign. Let me read our proverb. Proverbs 19, verse 21. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. Man proposes, but God disposes. I imagine most, if not all, who get to watch this are familiar with the saying, man proposes, but God disposes. The earliest record of those words is in The Imitation of Christ. That's a devotional written 600 years or so ago by a medieval Dutch mystic going by the name Thomas a Kempis. The paragraph the saying comes from was originally written in Latin, which I won't attempt to read, no matter how clever it might look or possibly sound. But here's an English translation. For the resolutions of the just depend rather on the grace of God than on their own wisdom, and in Him they always put their trust, whatever they take in hand. For man proposes, but God disposes. Neither is the way of man in his own hands. Our Kempis probably had Proverbs 19, verse 21 in view when he penned those words. Many think he had Proverbs 16, verse 9, or possibly Proverbs 16, verse 1 in mind. But there's no need to fight over the matter. All three texts, that's Proverbs 19, verse 21, Proverbs 16, verse 9, or Proverbs 16, verse 1, all three texts assert exactly the same truth. Man proposes, but God disposes. Now, incidentally, Royal Holloway owns a painting displayed in its picture gallery, painted by a Sir Edwin Landseer in 1864, which is titled Man Proposes, God Disposes. John Kasson might be able to enlighten us on that matter. It's a rather macabre painting, a painting of, and I quote, two polar bears savagely attacking human remains. It depicts, continuing the same quote, an imagined episode in the mysterious and grisly tale of Sir John Franklin's 1845 failed expedition to find the Northwest Passage. Much had been expected of the expedition. The expedition not only gave little in return, it also was associated with terrible loss of life. 129 men lost their lives. Somewhat worse, it left clear evidence of cannibalism. Well, let me put it this way. There was clear evidence of cannibalism amongst the last to die, and it shocked the self-consciously superior Victorian society of the day when the news got back. How could the most advanced and civilized nation in the world stoop to such barbarian levels? Man proposes, God disposes, and to add to the saying, God exposes. Our present trial, the coronavirus, resonates with similar lessons. Times like now show us who really is in control. They also show us who we are. As much as man proposes, ultimately God alone disposes. In so starkly demonstrating his sovereignty, he reveals a thing or two about us as well as himself. Now let's follow those themes as we look at Proverbs 19, verse 21 in more detail. Our proverb. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. Notice the 4 points of contrast in the proverb. 4 points of contrast in the proverb. First, there's many versus it. Second, there's the plans versus the purpose. Before we move on, notice how those two contrasts go together. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. Notice the plural and then the singular. Let's move on. The third point of contrast I want us all to notice, and this isn't rocket science, the third point of contrast is a man versus the Lord. The man, standing for all men and women, boys and girls, has many plans. The Lord has his purpose or intention. That's another way to understand the word purpose. The man has many plans. The Lord has his purpose. The issue is that the man has plans, plural. The Lord has his purpose, singular. Now for the fourth point of contrast. The man's plans are in his head. That's what mind means. The Lord's purpose stands. The Lord's purpose doesn't just remain in his mind. It isn't just executed, but then potentially overturned. No, the Lord's purpose, when its time comes, is executed and it is never overturned. It stands. The Lord's purpose stands at every stage of its existence. So, the many plans of the man are contrasted with the purpose, singular, of the Lord. Further, the many plans of the man are in his head, i.e., they are a matter, we might say, of mere rumination, not seeing realization. The Lord's purpose, on the other hand, sees realization and it stands. Now that might have been a rather pedantic way to look at Proverbs 19 verse 21. What's the long and the short of it all? Here, if I were a Puritan, I'd move to doctrine. In fact, that is the title on the top of my notes at this point. Doctrine. In other words, the truth or truths that a text of Scripture teaches. What does our proverb teach? It tells us who's in control. Negatively and largely implied, it's certainly not man. We need reminding of that. Wittingly or unwittingly, we keep away from or we manage our exposure to hostile environments that would get the better of us. We are so good at doing it, it's largely subconscious. We even make an art of it. Think of the sea and the shipping forecast. If that isn't one of the most respectful and affectionate memorials to our old foe, the sea, I don't know what is. The issue is this. Wittingly or unwittingly, we keep away from or we manage our exposure to hostile environments that could or would get the better of us at some stage. What when the enemy enters our territory? Our terra firma. Coronavirus has done that. It's broken beyond the normal boundaries. And we are literally powerless before it. Negatively speaking, man is quite obviously not in control. that the tone of the proverb is positive, implicitly negative, but explicitly positive. Positively speaking, the Lord is in control. His purpose stands. It is never overturned. He not only knew the virus would come, it's his purpose it would come. Now I realize that that raises all sorts of questions, but we mustn't doubt in the dark what we know in the light. He does not afflict or grieve the children of men from his heart, says the writer of Lamentations in chapter 3 and verse 33. We can be sure, as the verse immediately before that, in other words, Lamentations 3 and verse 32 says that though he cause grief, he will have compassion. The issue is this. How many plans on the part of men and women, boys and girls, nations, groups of nations, companies, what have you, have been put on hold or completely obliterated? Simply because the Lord, in his wise and good purpose, has chosen to rock our little boats by sending a virus. Who's in control? It's quite clear. The eternal purpose of the Lord stands. Now let's apply this. Following the Puritan, we move on to uses. Doctrine dealt with the truth or truths taught in a text. Uses is what we now call application. And I have two applications or uses of our proverb. Firstly, we must quietly and humbly acknowledge and embrace our finite and fallen identities. Originally created to rule over creation, but now because of the fall and God's curse on both us and creation, we are now powerless against creation's pushback. This current trial, while it might be the worst of its type in a generation, it's certainly not the worst suffered in history. This current trial shows us how helpless and powerless we really are. Of what use are William Ernest Henley's famous words in his poem Invictus? Of what use are they now? I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. We must quietly and humbly acknowledge and embrace our finite and fallen identities. But there's a second point of application. We must cast ourselves on the God who rules, and who, we know from elsewhere, abounds in mercy, grace, and compassion. Just think of what life is normally like. That was 2 to 3 weeks ago. It's sheer mercy and grace that allows any of our plans to come to pass. Living in a world that isn't nearly as bad as it could be, and living as people who don't suffer nearly as much as we deserve. Oh, the Lord's mercy and grace. Yes, things have turned, but it's good news, not bad news, that the same God rules in times like this, as well as those more normal situations a few weeks ago. Would you want anyone else pulling the levers? I wouldn't. And remember, the one whose purpose stands is the God of the covenant. Still the God of the covenant. Whether we live or whether we die, if we are his, we are safe. Because he is God, and his purposes to save will stand. As much as we might be very much on the back foot, and we are, he's on the front foot, and never has been anything other than on the front foot. I'm going to end with a verse of a hymn that I'm very fond of. You'll recognize it. God of the covenant, triune Jehovah, marvels of mercy, adoring we see, seeker of souls in the councils eternal, binding thy lost ones forever to thee. That verse is still true, even in these days.